Well, about a year ago, I guess. Maybe a year ago, Christmas. It was a Christmas before then. It's been almost 2 years. I got this great Sears Craftsman Workmate bench thing. And it was great. I mean, it was like, yeah, this is great. Just starting to build up my tools and stuff. Well, anyway, after a period of time, I started using this thing. You know, it's supposed to fold up, so it didn't take up a lot of space. You just fold it up and stick it in the garage someplace. Well, mine got to the point where it didn't really want to fold up. I don't know why it has these little things you unscrew to loosen it up, and then it just folds up nice and easy. Well, mine quit folding up. And so I'd push it the right way, and instead of folding, the legs would bend. Now, that's really bad, especially if you want to have it stay level and stuff, and the legs are bent. So I finally got it folded up and kind of got a hammer and straightened the legs back up. Then I'd get it out again, and it'd do the same thing. And eventually, it just got to the point where it got frustrating. You know. Then the other night, I was out doing something real quick and for Julie cutting some stuff and went to fold it back up, and again, the same thing. Well, actually, one side folded up real nice. The other side, the legs started bending. It just wouldn't come apart like it's supposed to. So I had it over, and I was trying to get it, and then one of the, oh, this is bad. One of the boards on top is bolted on. It just ripped right off the frame of the thing, and I just got frustrated and just threw it over in the grass and said, I'll mess with it later. Now, it didn't take that long for that to happen. You know, a couple years, I got frustrated and I grew weary of the thing. Now, I use that illustration to help us bring it. It didn't take that long. Now, we were singing a while ago of, you know, I can sing of your love forever. And, you know, I want to, the first song we sang, You Are My Treasure, and we said, you know, I want to be with you every day. You know, along with you every day. Well, sometimes forever isn't all that far away. For instance, I was thinking, you know, when I was sat here as a student, and a lot of people I knew in my class were singing these songs and things, and they wanted to sing of God's love forever and things, but they're not now for various reasons. You know, not everybody, but some of them. Things have come along and kept them from, you know, forever. Didn't last very long, I guess you could say. Now I want to start off just with an illustration to see if this thing works. That didn't work, did it? Tim, you can help me out, Tim. We had this set up a while ago, so forgive us. Tim will get it going. We'll start off with an illustration from Jeremiah. Old Jeremiah, you know, was trying to be a prophet and telling people what was going to happen. And they weren't listening. He grew weary. And so God told him this. Jeremiah 12:5. If you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? So in essence, God was kind of saying, you know, you haven't seen a whole lot yet. This is the easy part. If you're not going to make it now, what are you going to do later? Now, kind of a paraphrase of this in my day was, if you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. That's the way we'd say it, you know. But what I want to talk about is one specific thing that, you know, now maybe not a lot of us are just weary and ready to give up and things, but it's going pretty good. But I want to say, what I want to talk about tonight is by way of encouragement. Just kind of on my limited experience, looking back over a few years, and on what I know the Word says. And so, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Because we don't sing these things now, planning on falling or anything like that. So, what I want to talk about specifically in this area is, several times, well, Jesus did once, and several times Paul would encourage his people not to lose heart. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. These times not to lose heart. And I say this by way of encouragement, to just help you guys maybe look ahead a little bit. You can't look way ahead and know what's going to happen. But if you can look ahead a little ways, that's what I want to do. So I want you to take good notes. Take really good notes on this, because some of it may not, some of it will apply now for what you can start doing. Some of it, you won't see it for a while. So you need to keep this with you. One of the places Paul says this is in 2 Corinthians 4, which, by the way, is a tremendous chapter. We're going to look at that in a little bit. You can open up your Bibles there if you'd like, because we'll look at that more in a minute. Paul starts that off, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." You know, if you ever want to memorize a chapter or something, memorize 2 Corinthians 4. Start with that one. But Paul was letting people know, you know, some reasons for this, but don't lose heart. He was encouraging him. Another place he said this was Galatians 6:9, where he just told them some things that we'll look at again in a minute. And he said, "And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." So there's several other places he said this, and that's why I want to look at this tonight to help prepare you, so you can look ahead and be ready for some of these things we talk about begin to happen. The first boss thing: do not lose heart. What exactly does that mean? Well, it may mean a lot of tears. You know, if you're starting to lose heart, you may be crying. So, you know, you're going to get tears on everything. What does it mean to lose heart? You know, you may recognize that sound. You don't want to be on hard copy someday because you've lost heart, right? Well, look at that word. Some of the things it means is just to relax in our will. You know, I kind of relaxed in my will with this work bitch thing. I just thought, you know, I don't want to have to go through the thought of what I got to do. I just kind of relaxed a little bit, tossed it away. The way this sounds is, you know, bigger things come up, a lot bigger than a workbench. Maybe it's, you know, something in a marriage or something in a ministry or something with kids. And or you make a decision, it's been hard and things are kind of hard, and you just say, "I don't want to think about it anymore. I just don't want to think about it anymore." And you kind of relax a little bit. Another way that can look, to lose heart means to give in to evil. You just decide to sin. Or you've relaxed your will a little bit and you're faced with a decision at some point. You know, I can go ahead and choose to do what's right, what I know, think God would want me to do, or I can choose to do this thing that's wrong. And you just do wrong. You've lost heart. Maybe just for a time, but you do something wrong. It also means what we think about, to lose courage. You lose your courage. Another thing this means is to be tried and found a coward. Or in other words, you give up. You give up. You know, we've got the Christian life is, it's a race. Paul uses an illustration of a race. And it's not a short race. You know, you're not done with the race when you graduate from college. But you're really getting started in the thing. You know, you got a long ways ahead of you. And so, somewhere along the way, some things can happen to people that just cause them to give up. They're tired of running the race. They lose heart. Well, what are some of these things? I'll try to look at this quick. What are the causes? What are some things that might make us lose heart? Now, when you do a Bible study of this, and I could suggest to you, get your concordance out, look up, you know, do not lose heart, all those places, and do a Bible study, because it's rich. We're just hitting a few things I found from that. One of the things that can cause us to lose heart are unbeatable foes or uncertainty about the future. Those verses there you read about Israel. And they're facing this Philistine army, and Goliath was there, and they lost heart when they saw him. Some other things could be just, you know, suffering or persecution, which we're not assured that we'll never face some more of that even in our country. But that can cause a person to lose heart. You say, I can't make it anymore. And I've witnessed into this guy or something. I just can't break through. I give up. So one of the other things that causes us to lose heart is not receiving an answer when we want one. Maybe we pray about something. The answer doesn't come in our time, our timing. You know, God doesn't answer it when we want Him to. And so we just give up. You know, we're tired of trying. Another thing there is kind of mentioned, there's no response to the gospel. We try to share with people, do things, and it's not happening. We're not getting a response. So we feel like we're sowing. There's no harvest coming in. So we give up. Something else that can cause us to lose heart is just sin. Or sowing the wrong kinds of seeds. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. But just after a while, being a part of a sin, you're trying maybe to gain victory over even it's just not happening. And finally, I'm tired of trying. I'm ready to give up. You lose heart, and you just never quite find your way back. Something else that can cause us to lose heart is just focusing on our circumstances. If you just look at your circumstances, and they're not always great, you know. And especially after you graduate, maybe you get married, you've got kids, and there's just a lot of things that can go on, or your circumstances aren't always the greatest. Eventually, sometimes you can just say, I'm tired of trying, I'm tired of thinking about it, I'm ready to give up. So now some of you guys might be thinking this, actually.
It all boiled down to one inevitable conclusion. I was just totally clueless.
So you might think, okay, he's saying, I don't really understand exactly what he's talking about. I'm kind of clueless a little bit. What can I do? These are some things I want you to... I've kind of rushed through the other things, but now I want us to take a little while. I'm going to talk about four things, and we'll be done. These will blow you away, as a matter of fact. The first one is... pray for God to give you a ministry. I'm going to spend a little time here on this one. If you're open to 2 Corinthians 4, let's look at that. On 2 Corinthians 4, in the very first verse, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now you can see, you can see right there that verse says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. So in one way, it's almost like as God's given us mercy, He's given us this ministry. Or in the same way He's given it to us. Now mercy is of God. And having a ministry is of God. In fact, that's what He wants us to be doing, is having a ministry. Now, that can look a lot of different ways. I don't mean pray to go into full-time ministry or anything, but I mean pray that God will let you see how you can be involved in people's lives, whether it's by witnessing to them. Now, if you look on down here in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Then he says in 3 and 4 there that, we live in a deluded world. People are just blind. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. They can't see Him. And what God allows us to do is have a witness to people around us. And, it's amazing, just by knowing a little bit of the truth, we don't have to become brilliant or anything, you can commend yourselves to people's conscience. I was talking to somebody the other day that, just in class, every now and then they try to, raise their hand and give a biblical response as best they know to stuff people are saying. And the professor in that class, they've caught on to something. And now the professor will even ask that student at times, well, what do you think about that? And part of the reason that is because her conscience has let her know, he's talking about truth. Now in her mind, she may not want to admit to that. And a lot of other people are the same way. God will use people's consciences to let them know that what you're saying is the truth. So all we have to do is witness and let people know what the truth is. Something else is by discipling people, being involved and helping bring people along. Pray that God will let you do that so you can be a part of what He's doing. And one of the things this does for us is it keeps us connected to Christ. If you're going to be involved with people's lives, I mean, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's messy. It can be kind of a double-edged sword, because sometimes being involved in ministry, a lot of pastors and things lose heart and just kind of bail out. But the other side of it is it keeps us coming to God. And he says in verse 5 there, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. So it keeps us humble. You know, we preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. And in fact, you be involved with ministry for a while like I have, and I realize, you know, God, people that have learned some things through my ministry, it's really been God doing it. And God can even show me, you know, what great things you've done that I haven't done. So it keeps us humble. I'm trying to see my notes here, so sometimes I'm going to look down real close. But basically, pray for this, because we're to be Christ's ambassadors to other people. We're not living for ourselves. We're not. And if you're going to live for yourself, you may end up just going along and losing heart. So pray for God to give you ministry with people. Another thing. Said it'll blow you away. Learn to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. On down here in let me find it. In verse 13, he talks about how with the same spirit of faith we believe. But learn to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here, because my application on this one is get the message that Dick gave a couple weeks ago right here. If you took notes, get them out and go over them again, or go check out the tape and listen to it, because that's what he talked about. How to walk in the Spirit and not by the flesh. Now God's, when we come to Christ, God's given us a new spirit. We're a new creation. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. We've got a new nature that's Christ. And we need to learn to walk in that, because sometimes still the flesh will start saying stuff to us. Why don't you just go ahead and make this decision? Why don't you go ahead and do this? And what we have to do is learn how to make the right decisions according to how the Spirit would want us to. And over in Galatians 6, we looked at verse 9, but 7 and 8 there also talk about this. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who reaps, for the one who sows to the flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And then he goes on to say, "Let us not lose heart in doing good." But you've got to learn how to be sowing to the Spirit and not the flesh. Just a couple of examples there. I'm trying to see my notes again. It's hard to see in the dark. One of the things sowing to the Spirit is you'll learn how to sow to the Spirit in just an area of purity and things. And sowing the kinds of seeds that will allow you to reap eternal life. We're not looking to get life now. We're looking to something a lot greater. And I'll talk about that in my fourth point. But, you know, the things you're doing with your eyes, the stuff you're watching, the way you're doing in relationships with people, learn to sow to the Spirit, not do what the flesh will keep whispering you do. You know, one of the things that can happen in the area of anger can, there's just a lot of things you can sow to the flesh real easy there and reap a harvest of bitterness later. And there's lots of little things that can happen. Maybe, you know, you guys have roommates. And a lot of times, you know, some of your roommates don't do a lot of things that make you real happy. You can begin to get angry with them about something. And you got a decision. You know, I can go to them, try to keep doing good, help work this out, or sometimes you just say, you know, I'm tired of thinking about it. And it just sits in there and it just kind of rolls around, you know, and you lay awake at night just thinking, I am angry at my roommate. And you don't do anything about it, and soon you start getting bitter, and you just, I mean, the flesh is just all over the place because you haven't taken care of it. Some of the other things is, and, you know, there's so many times we need to be looking to Christ and sowing in the Spirit. But the flesh gives us all these ways that we can cope with it now. And so we turn to those things. And we don't, you know, being addictions don't just happen in the area of drugs and alcohol, but there's all kinds of things we can kind of become addicted to help us cope with things now when it gets stressful, you know, when things happen. Well, we go ahead and just turn to this thing in the flesh to help us make it through. Dick mentioned that in his message. And learn to identify maybe some of those patterns you might have when you sow to the flesh. And you make little choose little things to help you go ahead and make it now, to help you feel good, at least for the moment. And learn how to deal with those things so you can sow to the Spirit. So that's another one. The next one is, develop a thankful heart. And before I talk about that, Julie's going to come up here. And Brandon, if you can get this mic on here for her. She's going to come up and share with you quickly how she's applied this particular thing in her life. Okay, come on, Julie.
Well, I feel like I need to jump on the screen or make a noise or something.
My wife, Julie.
I like that. No, but one thing, this semester for me has just been a struggle, and if any time in my life, if I were to ever give up or lose heart, it would probably be this semester. And I think just because of all the things that I'm juggling as far as getting used to having four kids, and I'm homeschooling two of them, so while I'm doing that, trying to figure out what to do with the other two in between naps and everything, and also meeting with six girls, which I love that, don't get me wrong with that, and also just figuring out how to fit in the ministry with Derek and also just trying to encourage him as a wife. So by juggling all these things, I just became just spiritually and emotionally drained. And so I did. I just wanted to give up and lose heart. Or I didn't want to give up and lose heart. I felt like it because I was just so drained. But in seeking God, He showed me that I just needed to develop a thankful heart. And that was in my circumstances, and just a thankful heart for where He has placed me. So something that He really showed me, and this is what I've been practically doing, is that every morning before I get out of bed, I just lay there and I just thank God for Derek, and I name one thing that I'm thankful for Derek. And then I go through Caleb, and I name one thing I'm thankful for Caleb, and then Joshua, and then Kylie, and then Zachary. And I try to, every morning I try to think of something different so I have a whole bunch and not just the same thing. But, you know, that has really been great, because the benefits that I have really seen is that, you know, halfway during the day when things get really tense, God will bring those back to my mind that I have thanked Him for. And so it just, it calms my heart, and then it just allows me to handle the circumstances that I have to face during the day. And this, by all means, has not changed my circumstances at all, but it's helped me to refocus just on my blessings that God has given me, and it's helped me to allow Him, just to honor Him in all the choices that I make.
Thank you, Julie. The reason you need to develop a thankful heart is, if you don't, a lot of stuff's going to come in. You don't thank God for it. You focus on the circumstances, and you lose a perspective, and then your heart begins to get bitter. And then pretty soon it kind of gets hard and cold and just kind of withers, because all that bitterness there is just cutting you off. And one of the remedies for that is learning how to thank God, even in times when it's kind of hard. And you look here in verse 8 in 2 Corinthians 4, and he says, you know, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And then he goes on down to say some of these things. And in verse 14, he talks about the perspective they have. We know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, lack of thanksgiving and encouragement will lead to, it'll lead to sin. It'll lead to bitterness. And you can end up within, 10 years of where you are now, you might look back and think, how did I ever end up here? And there will be a lot of different reasons, but one of the things that can just help you practically, like she talked about, is having a thankful heart. Learn to thank God for all the different things He's doing in your life. And realize that it's all happening for your benefit. It's all happening for you to be able to have a ministry of reconciliation in other people's lives. Make sure there's not something here I want you to hear. And the last thing, this is a biggie. Live with an eternal perspective. Listen to what Paul said in 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And what this will do, having an eternal perspective, will help you live with perseverance and endurance and courage. And it gives you focus on what's really important and what we're living for. Now, we've talked about this before at Summit Vespers. What does it mean to fix our eyes on Jesus? Well, I mean, practically, it means get up in the morning and He's the joy of your morning and you spend time with Him. And you say, God, what do you want me to be doing today? And you read through the Gospels and learn about Jesus and strive to be an imitator of Him and letting the Spirit, living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is a great verse to learn. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And in His mercy, He's allowing us to have a part in what He's doing. An eternal perspective, it'd be good too if sometimes you just looked up eternal in the concordance and read all those verses and did a little study. Because we're not living for what's just right now. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. There is a life to come. Now, we got a few years yet until we die, most of us. And we're, for eternity, we're just getting a start. We're just getting started. And we need to keep that in mind all the time. So often we want to give up a little bit, or it's not always a lot of fun when you're getting hard-pressed from every side and you're getting perplexed and you're getting persecuted and you're getting struck down. I mean, it's not just, loads of fun. And sometimes, especially in our culture, we've got such an appetite for distraction and a hunger to be entertained and have fun that we just look to right now. I just want to have fun now. And we lose sight of some of the things that we can be doing to help us have that eternal perspective. Eternal perspective is letting God determine what you're going to do now and not people. It's letting God determine what you're going to do now and not people. So have a vision. Eternal perspective will let you begin to have a vision for what God's going to do with your life. And so even when times get hard or something hard's going on, or some of these things are happening like Paul talked about, or people aren't listening, that's okay. Because, you've got this long-range vision in mind. Primarily the reason I want to talk about this tonight is because, I'm not just here doing what I'm doing so you guys can have a good time in college. Primarily, I want to have a good time, but primarily what I want you to do is be set for a lifetime of growing in Christ and walking in Him and being a part of what He's doing, maturing in Him, So you can have, actually, you can be living for eternity and help you see some of those values and the things you can be living for. So that's the reason we do a lot of what we do. You know, we don't do a lot of things. Some of the things we do here in the BSU, other people don't do, you know. We're not doing that so we can have this neat little group that's, you know, carrying around verse packs or something. Or we're not doing that to play these little games, you know, being more spiritual than somebody else. Not about that at all. And so what we're trying to do is get you set up to live a life, a full, enjoyable life, walking with God, experiencing Him, and also hope so that you don't lose heart when things get kind of hard. So if you can practice some of these things, you know, if you're kind of around here and you're kind of just playing some games, or you want to fit in with the group, so you're doing some of the stuff we're doing, but it's mostly to kind of fit in, let me encourage you to quit playing a game. I mean, it's not a game. So quit playing. You know, sometimes we just want to do what we need to do so people around us can prop us up and hold us up, but that ain't going to last real long. So what I want you to do is learn to fix your eyes on Jesus. Pray to have a ministry. And right now, while you're around here, get involved with the ministry. Learn to walk by the Spirit. I'm telling you, get Dick's tape and listen to it, because he has some great things to say. And you can figure out if you're a city builder, or a firelighter, or a wall whitewasher, or a well digger, and you can understand what I'm talking about. Or look back over your notes, because some of us are doing those things, and we have to some extent. Develop a thankful heart. Learn to thank God for where He's got you. And get an eternal perspective. And pray for God to help you live with that kind of perspective, that you're not living for right now, but we're living for something far greater than that. And write these things down and keep them with you, because things are going to come along, and within 10 years, some of you guys are going to be a long ways from God, and you're not planning on it now, but you're not really setting yourself up to make it well. And you'll have, your heart will just grow cold. So let me pray for you. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this chance tonight to hear what Your Word says, to see what Paul says here when he's talking to the Corinthians about some things we can do not to lose heart. Father, I pray You give us all hearts and minds that would long to know You more and more, and also that would see how we can sow things now just to set us up for success later and not losing heart. So help us to be doing those things now and disciplining our lives so that we can be close to You. And thank You for all our circumstances, because we're looking to You and not just to the little thing that we're in. And I pray for everyone here, Father. I pray that each one of us right here and the people we talk about tonight can have these things such in their life so that when it gets hard later on, they won't be crushed or perplexed or in despair or struck down, but they will continue looking to You and serving You, because all the things we're doing, whether bad things or even good things we have fun with, we realize that we're building up something that has an eternal weight of glory far beyond anything we can imagine. And let us live for that and not for the now. And let us help others be able to do the same as we have a ministry of people's lives. So I pray that each one of us tonight has heard this, and I pray that for myself too, that we won't forget these things that we've talked about. In Jesus' name, amen.